Hello, all you Conference USA fans. Thanks again for listening to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. Excited to be joining you on a Tuesday this week, off our usual weekly Wednesday schedule, but for a very good reason. We all know that football season is upon us. The season is quickly approaching, and we are just 1 month away from kickoff. So, to get ourselves primed and prepared for the opening weekend of CUSA football season, we have decided to drop 2 episodes a week, every Tuesday and Thursday from now until the first weekend of the season. Whew, it is going to be a lot of work, but it's going to be a lot of fun. If you're following us on X, which, hey, if you're not, you definitely should be, at CUSA Insider Pod, then you probably saw my post about doing 10 interviews in one day with each of our schools at CUSA football kickoff. So, I mean, 2 episodes in 1 week has nothing on 10 interviews in one day, so we can definitely do it. So some of you might be thinking, what can we expect to see out of these episodes over the next 5 weeks? Well, I am so happy that you asked. We will be dropping 2 season previews per week, focusing on one school in each episode. We dropped an episode release schedule on our social accounts a little while ago, so go check out at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram to see when each school's season preview episode will be aired. So we'll look into what each of these episodes is going to look like. Half of the episode, we'll be taking it to the boots on the ground, the folks who are intimately familiar with all of our programs, the people who deserve to get some love for all of the hard work they put in to promote our teams, the beat writers. Super excited to get a chance to talk to each of our beat writers and give them the honor and respect they deserve in an often underappreciated occupation. We're going to talk training camp, newcomers to the program, coaches, players to watch, all of the football things. So we're really super excited to get to talk to our beat writers. And then in each episode, we'll follow up our beat writer segments with what I'm going to call a little more fun, a little less football. We're going to share the interviews that I conducted with the 2 players and head coach who attended our football media day there in Frisco, and it's going to be some fun conversation. I know y'all sometimes skip to the end of our episodes just to hear the CUSA Eats segment and figure out what restaurants you want to visit when you're coming to CUSA campuses, so I am happy to tell you that I asked all 3 participants on each of those interviews their favorite restaurants near your campus, so you've got at the very least, 30 restaurant recommendations to look forward to. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this week's season preview episode. Up first, the Sam Houston Bearcats. They had a tough season in their first year in Conference USA, going 3-9 overall and losing 5 of their contests by just 1 score. But they won 3 out of their last 4 games, so they've got some momentum to work off of going into the 2024 season. So we caught up with Colton Foster, sports director at the Huntsville Item, to get his thoughts on the Bearcats' upcoming season. And then right after that, you'll hear an interview with head coach Casey Keeler, wide receiver Noah Smith, and linebacker Tavian Gaither. So let's jump right into it, y'all. Thanks for listening again, and I'll see you on the other side. All right, everybody. Joining us today here on CUSA Insider is Colton Foster, sports editor at the Huntsville Item, joining us today to preview the Sam Houston Bearcats 2024 football campaign. I also have with me Josh Yonis, assistant commissioner of strategic communications for football. Guys, thank you both so much for joining me today to talk about the Bearcats.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to be back.
Well, Colton, I will start you out maybe with a little bit more of a softball question. There's a lot of change up there, especially on the defensive side of the ball and in the locker room and the strength training room with a new strength and conditioning coach. But Casey Keeler, going into his 10th year as the head coach there at Sam Houston, what can you say about maybe what you've seen coach talking about in the off season this year as far as what they're looking forward to with his 10th year at the helm of the Bearcats?
You know, last year, with being their first year at Conference USA play, they had a lot of injuries, and a lot of that, you know, came from, I don't want to say not prepping right, but, you know, it was kind of just nagging stuff, and things were carrying over week to week, and it really hurt their depth, especially late in the season. So a lot that they've been focusing on is trying to, you know, keep the guys conditioned, and, you know, they've spent most of the offseason preparing for that and are trying to just, you know, late in games. They lost five games on five plays last year. Late in games, being able to make those five plays to hang on to wins and, you know, get to that six win mark, if not more, for this upcoming year.
And you mentioned the five losses by, you know, one score there. I talked to Coach Keeler at Football Media Day last week, and he really emphasized that. I mean, if those five plays had gone in a different direction, you're talking about a totally different 2023 season for the Bearcats. Before we jumped on the recorded call, we were talking about the addition of a new strength and conditioning coach coming over from UTEP, Kevin Schatt. There's been a lot of change up in interleague strength and conditioning coaches, with your former strength and conditioning coach leaving for Jacksonville State, Coach Schatt coming over from UTEP. So can you go a little bit maybe more into detail about just kind of what this new strength and conditioning outlook is like for this season?
Yeah, so in the off season, you know, in the spring and right before your training camp starts, they spent 3 days in the weight rooms trying to build, get bigger, faster, and stronger, as Keeler would say. And it let them kind of build up in the weight room, as well as he said that they got more meeting times. So they were able to kind of get into the rooms, and not only were they getting, you know, stronger, but they were able to kind of sit down in position groups and kind of have more face-to-face, kind of learn the playbook, kind of get, you know, things rolling, rather than just, you know, you go out there and you run a couple of reps, and then 3 hours later you go home and take a shower and go back to sleep.
Between the way that last year ended, you know, winning three of the last four games, I know a big thing for the team was ending spring ball completely healthy. And I'm sure that was a, you know, kind of a testament to some of these philosophies around strength and conditioning. Just what have you seen just in the momentum building going into year two in CUSA, year two in the FBS, as they kind of continue to, you know, build a foothold there?
You know, I think there's a lot of guys have that chip on their shoulder being there for the year, first year, and then not going the way it went. You know, a lot of guys took red shirts the last year in the WAC, and they only played their four games, so they could come do this experience. And then you get here, and all of a sudden, you know, you go 3-9, and you start 0-8. You lose to BYU by 14, and you lose to Air Force by 10. So just a lot of stuff where it was like, if something started going the right way earlier, could have been a whole different season. So there's a lot of guys that I think are going to come into this season with that chip on their shoulder, ready to kind of show that Sam Houston can compete in Conference USA and can be a title contender year in and year out.
Well, you look at the returners, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They're returning seven starters on offense, but you guys do have a little bit of a quarterback battle going on down there in Huntsville. Can you speak a little bit to the offense of the Bearcats this year and what we might expect to see?
Yeah, so it was kind of a surprise, but Hunter Watson kind of emerged, it seems like, as kind of one of the favorites in the battle. It seems like it might be seen him and Central Michigan quarterback or transfer Jace Bauer. It felt like Bauer was going to be the guy from the start. And now, you know, Hunter Watson comes in from the JUCO ranks and is kind of pushing the needle on Noah Smith, the current. I think he'd probably be like wide receiver two or three on the depth chart. But, you know, he said they're roommates and they've got a great connection. And, you know, so it's kind of one of those things that I think once this training camp portion starts up, you know, I think it's going to go down to August 31st when they take the field against Rice to know exactly who it's going to be. But it'll be interesting to see if they run out Jace with the experience, or if they let Hunter Watson see if he can kind of prove what he's got.
Yeah, it was really interesting to read one of your pieces that you wrote for the Huntsville Item, talking to Coach Keeler about that quarterback battle. He said, "I am not the type of guy who wants to run a two quarterback offense, but if that's what I've got to do, then that's what I'll do." Do you expect to see that? I know you have the hardest interview, by the way, out of all of them, I think, because we're talking to you pre-camp. I want all of our listeners to know that. Some other beat writers are going to get a little bit more of a leg up later in the month because they're going to have a couple of weeks of camp under their belt. But just looking at it now, I mean, could you see a two quarterback system?
No, so Coach Keeler has never ran that way. Now, will they play different quarterbacks throughout the season? Yes, we've seen it before. You know, I'm not going to say we won't see it again. But last year, I think, was truly telling because Keegan got off to such a slow start. And part of that was you lose your number one receiver. He broke it. The number one receiver last year breaks his foot in training camp. So now he's out, and now everybody's starting to get hurt. Ife got hurt at Houston. But we saw in that Houston game, they went to Grant Bunnell behind under center. And they had Trapper Panel, who's now graduated. But Bunstat, he scored the last FCS touchdown and then scored the first FBS touchdown for the Cats. But he graduated out, and he was listed as a quarterback, but he always kind of played that versatile, like would come in and he might throw it, but most of the time he was running it. But I'm not sure, you know, either of the guys for the quarterback position this year have that ability. It felt like that was going to be kind of a Watson position, but now it's starting to track that, like, he could get the nod for week one.
So a thing that I've heard a couple times now is that, you know, Sam Houston feels like they have the best wide receiver room in the league this year, kind of headlined by Noah Smith, who you even mentioned was wide receiver two or three on the depth chart, but everything went through him, you know, following that injury that you mentioned. You know, the offense ran through him last year with 79 catches and, you know, almost 800 yards. But just kind of talk to me about, you know, what else we need to look for in that wide receiver unit and just kind of how vital it is to have that many weapons when you do have a quarterback battle going on.
Yeah, and you know, Noah's going to be a guy for them. But last year they lost Ife, who had hadn't really found his footing. They tried, I want to say it was in 2021, they tried to move him to the slot, or it was 2022. They tried to move him to the slot, but, you know, it was the year that they redshirted, so he played his four games and was out. Last year, he played three games, and then he's out. But you're getting at Quavis Humphreys this year, who was the one that broke his foot and can't, and now you're adding a 6'3 receiver on the outside that you can kind of throw it down to. And, you know, Noah's a great athlete, but he doesn't quite have that, you know, you can chunk it deep to him with a, you know, a 6-foot-plus corner. But getting, you know, just the guys back. And like last year, you know, we talked about the injuries. But on the flip side of that, you had guys that were, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th on the depth chart now getting, you know, solid reps, in-game reps, kind of getting the speed of FBS play. It's just going to be really interesting to see kind of how they can kind of do it this year.
On the defensive side of the ball, obviously one of the big storylines is, you know, Trevor Williams, who's probably a first ballot Sam Houston Athletics Hall of Famer whenever he's becomes eligible. You know, the loss of him in that linebacker room, but, you know, obviously some really high expectations for KV and Gaither and, you know, a couple other returning players or transfers. But just kind of talk to me, you know, about what kind of impact he had on this team and the legacy he leaves and what you expect out of Kavian to kind of step into that role.
Yeah. I mean, Trevor was the defense. I mean, he led the nation in solo tackles or something at, you know, at the end of the season. He was a big part of that for the, I think, 6 years that he was here. And, you know, he was kind of that heartbeat of the defense. And I think Kavian's at the point now, he's been a 4-year player for Sam. I think he'll be able to kind of step into that role. You know, I don't think he'll ever be able to replace a Trevor Williams by any stretch, but Kavian's been a player. He's, you know, he's been around, he's seen it. He kind of broke out in that 2020 year. And he was one of those guys in that year that, you know, they weren't sure what he was going to be, but Trevor redshirted. So, hey, let's get this guy in here. And also, I think he was the, you know, WAC defensive player of the year at the end of it. He wasn't even supposed to play. So, yeah, I think he's going to be able to kind of come in and kind of control the defense there in the middle.
We talk about Trevor Williams obviously leaving a huge hole in that defense, but you guys are trying to replace 7 defensive starters, which is crazy. Not to mention you have a new defensive coordinator on staff there at Sam Houston in Skylar Cassidy. So tell me a little bit about maybe the defensive mindset right now as a whole. I know Casey Keeler has talked very highly of Coach Cassidy, but what are we expecting out of the Bearcat defense this year?
You know, it's going to be interesting. They've had such a dominant defense for so many years. And another thing is not having Clayton Carlin on the coaching staff anymore could be one of those things that, you know, at last year, he was the associate head coach last safeties, but, you know, he was also kind of that de facto defensive coordinator. You know, I don't want to say he ran the defense, but, you know, it's somebody you can rely on for advice. But it's really going to be interesting trying to replace a lot of those guys, you know, seven of them on defense. I think of times to kind of have a new defensive coordinator rolling with new guys. It'll be here and now.
Last year was kind of a rude awakening with the non-conference slate for Sam Houston, the FBS, the FBS debut. But this year, kind of a 180, a much more conducive non-conference schedule, opportunity to play at Rice, right down the road in Houston, at UCF, getting a Power Four opponent that's, potentially, not as strong. And then Hawaii and Texas State. And Texas State being a pretty big one that'll be on a big stage at NRG. So, a great opportunity for fans in that area. But just talk me through, what games you're really looking forward to, what you're expecting out of that non-conference slate for Sam Houston.
You know, I'm really looking forward to the Rice game. And I know it's probably cliche to say, like, I'm looking forward to game one. But I think that's kind of the ultimate test. You're going to another group of five. And you're able to, play in Houston. You're able to kind of play in front of some of your home fans. It is kind of that first, like, hey, last year it was BYU. It's BYU. Now it's like, it's Rice. Like, it's a winnable game. It's a game that you can go in and kind of make some noise. And if you show up, it's like, hey, we beat Rice. And you know, it's not that gauntlet of we have to travel to Utah and then play at NRG. And then really that Texas State game is going to be a good one too, especially with all the success that they had last year. And, they were all Southland Conference mates, I think like 10 years ago at this point. But I think it'll be those two games are probably the best ones to look out for in non-con. And getting Hawaii at home is big for them too, because it, kind of has that home opener with a team that, can get people into the seats and kind of create a fun atmosphere thereabouts.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people looking at that same Houston Texas State matchup, they may think, it's the first time they're playing in the FBS, but I think they played over, almost 100 times when you go back to their days in the Southland Conference. So, there's definitely a lot of history there. And I think between, KC haven't been there long enough to kind of, maybe remember playing them and, maybe just his ties being in Texas this long with GJ Kinney, too.
Yeah, I think it's fun. Yeah. You guys have two in-state out-of-conference matches, which that was a brilliant by somebody. I think that is a lot of fun. It's going to get some butts in seats regardless. It's going to be exciting atmospheres.
Yeah, and especially with them being such high-profile teams too. There's that Rice fan base and a Texas State fan base that's all going to be in that Houston area. And a lot of people that, from the Sam fan base that are going to be there too that want to go check it out.
Yeah, and I know one thing that, I talked about with some people at Media Day is, you look at that schedule and, okay, let's say you go, 2-2. Well, now you have to split in conference play just to make a bowl game. So, money is nice when you have these bye games, but, to position yourself in a place where, it's a little less pressure to get to a postseason game is also kind of beneficial too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because like you said, now you just have to split your non-con games. And, we saw Sam go 3-3 out of their last four to end the year. And that, puts you at that 5-win mark if you go 2-2.
Golden, are there any key players maybe for Sam Houston on either side of the ball or on special teams that we haven't mentioned maybe throughout the course of our chat that you think that fan bases around the country and especially other fan bases in Conference USA need to be on the lookout for?
I think on the offensive side, John Gentry is one of those. He came in, I believe it's from Utah State last year. And he was another one of those. He got hurt, missed 2 weeks, come back for a week, missed 3 weeks, come back for a week. I think he can be something special. And then on the defense side of the ball, Isaiah Nixon's another guy he kind of has that experience and he's able to come back. And he'll be able to, he'll be able to run that defense just the same as Kavion and kind of develop it with a new defense coordinator.
Awesome. Love to hear that. Well, Colton, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're a Sam Houston graduate, right?
I am, yes.
Is it difficult in your capacity as a reporter there for the Huntsville Item and also as a graduate of Sam Houston to stay in this reporter role. Do you have to be neutral when you're reporting on the Bearcats, or can you add some fandom in there?
Yeah, I try my best to stay neutral with it as best I can. But, you know, there's always that part of you where you're like, I graduated this year. You know, it'd be so cool to go watch them play at a bowl game somewhere. You know, the whole move and everything. So yeah, it's pretty difficult, but you know, I try my hardest not to let the fandom come out.
I think it's important to have, you know, you've got an extra 4 years as a student of, you know, some Sam Houston lore. So, you know, just having a little bit more background there, you know, will probably help in your coverage. So,
Yep. It helps a little bit. Yeah.
Well, Colton, maybe we will reach back out to you towards the end of the season, because maybe the Bearcats will be bowl bound, their first FBS bowl in conference or in school history. We could reach back out to you and catch back up again. Maybe I'm trying to speak it into existence for you as a fan.
Anytime.
But we really appreciate your time today. Looking forward to seeing who will trot out there for the quarterback spot there for the Bearcats come August 31st against Rice at Rice Stadium. Looking forward to the Bearcats 2024 campaign. And thank you, Colton, again for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys, here in our final interview today on CUSA Insider, the 10th interview at CUSA Football Media Days, we have the Sam Houston Bearcats with us, Coach Keeler, Noah Smith, and Kavian Gaither. Guys, thank you so much for joining me today.
Sarah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to try not to get tongue-tied here. Like I mentioned, you are my 10th interview.
Yeah.
It's been a marathon. I'm sure it's been like that for you guys today as well. How's it going? You enjoying yourselves? Is it your first media day?
This is my first media day. Coach finally decided to bring me.
We don't normally let the media talk to Noah, but for some reason I had a change of heart. I might be regretting this.
Everyone by you.
Oh, it's been a great experience. Just being able just to be here with Noah Smith and Coach Keeley. I've been having a great time.
Yeah, Kavian wasn't going to come until I said Noah Smith is going to be there. Like,
oh, and then he came.
Yeah. Noah Smith, if there's a party, Noah Smith's going to be
okay.
The head guy.
No, we just have to talk about this. I feel like Coach gives you a really hard time, but you take it well.
Definitely. That's my guy.
A lot of love there.
That's my guy, man. Like every day, I know it's coming.
When you're, my name is Boss Man Baby.
Boss Man Baby.
Yeah, I mean, how can't you love no if you're Boss Man Baby?
What does he call you?
Oh,
Noah Smith. Both names always.
Noah Smith. No, Sick. No, don't really too much call me Six. Keep it just Noah, honestly.
Okay. Well, there have been some fun nicknames that have come through here. Boss Man Baby, though, might be the bet that I've heard. That I've heard all day. Well, just sitting here with you guys for the last 5 minutes, I can tell you, you must have a lot of fun in your locker room. So tell me a little bit, what's the vibe like in the locker room going into the 24 season? Is there maybe like a saying or a mantra that you guys are using this year? Give me some insight into that.
I just feel like my locker room is very like close, very brotherly, loved. Coach always preached that. I mean, since he recruited me, he preached family and love to me, and since I've came and throughout the years, he just kept preaching that. So like very close group. I don't know about the sayings, but I mean, obviously we finish off on love, 1-2-3 love, 1-2-3 family. So like that's something we definitely stand on. And I think locker room is a great group.
We talk a lot about love and trust, and you can't love somebody unless you know somebody, and you can't trust somebody unless you know somebody. So we spend a lot of time getting a chance to know each other, and that's going to be a lot about training camp. Training camp, you know, our guys will get up and do their three H's. You know, this is my history. This is my hero. Here's my hardship. It's pretty powerful. And then we'll do a big brother, little brother. All the freshmen will have a big brother, and they'll get a chance to introduce them, and it actually becomes kind of a comedy show up there. And so we'll do a lot of stuff like that where we get comfortable with each other. I also do a lot of cross-pollination where I want the offensive staff spending time with the defensive players, the defensive staff spending time with the offensive players, because we're in this thing together. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the most rewarding things of last year, was that even though we were struggling and we were, you know, lost five games by five plays, these guys stayed together.
Yeah.
And to finish it off and winning three of the last four, you know, dropping a touchdown in the end zone to win four out of four, you could tell that that doesn't happen everywhere. It happened at our place because our guys stayed together. And I just am so blessed to have such just great human beings in that locker room. They're really good football players, too. These guys are phenomenal football players, but they're just better people. And that's, I think that's why we feel we have a really good chance this year to make a breakthrough.
It's awesome. Well, Coach, you talk very highly of your players and especially these two sitting right here. But Kavian, talk highly about your coach. I want to hear what you think about Coach Keeler over here.
Oh, man, Coach Keeler. So funny story, right? So freshman year, fall camp, you know, I'm trying to make plays. I'm trying to get on the field. Well, I ended up tackling one of our leading receivers, Cody Kress. And I heard it from that moment to the end of practice.
And so, I have a tendency to repeat myself.
Woo, don't want to get in trouble.
Nah, Coach Keeler, though, that's he, you know, I've had a great experience with him here at Sam, and he, you know, I love him as a coach. You know, I love him, and I'm real close with him, and I think that he's the sole big reason why I'm here at Sam.
And so a quick story on Kavian, it's like, he's not going to like this, but, you know, we're going to tell about the 33rd for 30. So we're working on 30 right now because he was a safety. Now he's playing linebacker. He has a redshirt year. So if we, you know, keep on feeding him, get him in the weight room, maybe make him a defensive tackle. Think about the 30 for 30 on that.
That would be something else.
Safety to linebacker to defensive to nose tackle. But he's not buying in right now.
Don't encourage it. Don't encourage them.
Well, Coach Keeler, 10th season at Sam Houston. You've seen a lot of change at this school, obviously. What, have you been part of three conferences now?
Yeah.
So tell us about Conference USA. You got to play your first full year there last year. Lots of different changes with weekday CUSA games and other things like that. Obviously, the level of competition, like you said, five games by five plays last year. So close. What are you guys looking toward in year two in Conference USA?
Well, let's talk about the change just in the university in my time.
Yeah.
You know, we went from 15,000 students to 22,000 students. At one point, we were the 14th fastest growing university in America, fifth fastest growing town in the state of Texas. We put like $1.2 billion into this university over the last decade. And it's funny. Like, I'll look out my window, go, okay, there's another crane up. Wonder what we're knocking down and building now. So just to see that whole thing take place, I remember walking into a team meeting, and, you know, we were in the process of going and winning 21 straight games, and we won a national championship, and telling the boys that we're making the move to Conference USA. And that's going to mean that we're not going to be able to play for anything the next year. And that was hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably in my 31 years of being a head football coach, the hardest thing I ever had to go through was not be able to play. Because this is a program that we're all in all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we're always about winning championships, and we're not afraid to say that. And so, you know, going through all those things and then actually getting this team to Conference USA, we're excited about, you know, what we can do next year. You know, Noah's a guy that is a super senior, you know, sixth year. We redshirted him because we wanted to get him in this opportunity that we could go win a conference championship and go to a major bowl. So that's kind of the mindset we have. We're trying to find a way to, you know, find those five plays to put us over the top. And it's been a lot of fun, you know, this spring and this summer watching this team grow and mature. And I think we all feel like we have a chance to have a special season. And again, it starts with guys like this.
Absolutely. Well, Noah, you started all 12 games last year for the Bearcats. And I think that people may not know, you actually were second in the league in receptions this past year. What are you looking to do in 24? Is this your final season? So it's going out with a bang?
Yes, ma'am, of course. Just stay consistent, have a productive year, you know, show things that I can get better on, you know, the longer touchdowns, you know, blocking maybe. And, you know, just being a leader, and I want to win more, you know, more than catching 80 passes. I'll catch 60 and win more games for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely just being productive, having a productive year for sure.
Yeah. All right, Kavian, how are you feeling going into 2024?
I'm excited. You know, I can't wait. You know, this is going to be a very great season for us. And I think just all the changes we've made and everything that's leading up to this season and I think I feel very confident this year, and I think that personally, we can make something shake this year, honestly.
Yeah, I'm just listening to you guys talk about the locker room and the camaraderie that you guys have in there. It would be something to be a little fly on the wall listening to conversations, but what I want to know about your locker room makeup is, who is the funniest guy in the locker room? Who's your funniest teammate? Coach, you can weigh in on this too.
Not Coach Keeler.
I am funny. They don't like my humor. Jason has a little bit of an issue because he doesn't like my humor. And I am like persistent. Like,
you need to laugh at me.
Yeah. Like, this is probably the 15th time he's heard this safety, the linebacker, the deep tackle, you know, corporate sort of thing. So he's like, now he's tapping his head saying, please, coach, no. No, that's a sign of gift. Like, we tap our head saying, okay, no more.
That's good. Funny.
Man, who's the funny?
Man, so many jokesters in that locker room.
Yeah.
I mean, I can count. It's so many. I mean, the receiver room has a good four. I'm talking about top on a team.
Okay.
Including me, probably.
I was about to say, are you included in the group?
Well, when you come off the field, I always encourage the coaches to get through the locker room. You know, we share everything. And, like, just to see the energy in the locker room after a practice, just, I mean, the music's going, they're all having fun with each other. It's rewarding. And that was one of the great experiences of my career was, you know, watching a team that was struggling so much, but just refused to give up, you know, and just kept in hand. I remember going home and having dinner with my wife, and it was on a Sunday, and she goes, you seem like you're okay. I go, I am actually okay. She goes, you know, they kicked that field goal on the last play and you lost. I said, I remember that.
Yes, I remember
that. I said, but, you know, I'm with the fellas, and they're making me feel like it's going to all be okay because they're just working so hard. I was so impressed just how they just put their heads down and were like, we're just going to keep on working at this thing. And I'd go in that weight room on Sunday and they'd just be killing it. I'd get to practice on Tuesday and they just would be attacking it. And that was so rewarding for me because the culture was working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys were, we agreed, we're playing 12 games. We're playing all 12. And we're going to play all 12 to the very end. And that mentality permeated through our season. And that's why we had the success we did at the end.
Yeah, and now here we're sitting and we're starting camp next week. Starting camp next week. Yep. That's a grind. I know it is. But there's some good things, I think. Well, obviously, there's good things that come out of camp. But, like, on a positive note, what are you guys looking forward to getting together and getting back on the field with each other next week?
I just say that just to get back in the groove of football, obviously, get back in the groove of practice, get back. Out there with my quarterbacks, catching passes, working on my game, you know, just feeling myself and us coming together, you know, because game day each week, it gets closer and closer. Each practice is we're leading up to a game. So obviously just getting back out there.
I've changed so much in that, you know, 10 years ago, like that first meeting would be like, okay, let's introduce the staff and we're with each other all the time, you know, and the strength coach guy, I was at the way I operate. It's like we're very hands-on early, and then we kind of let the reins go and let the team and the strength coach kind of form, you know, the mentality of the team and the leadership of the team. But these guys, it's a close group already. And I know talking to some of the other players in the last couple of days, they had mentioned that they feel the cohesiveness. And the players that we brought in, you know, they either fit in or it's pretty obvious or not. And these guys that we've brought in have fit in really well. And so, again, I think we're all excited about getting the pads on and getting after it and getting to game one.
KG, I know you're excited to hit some folks.
Of course. You know it. You know it. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I would be remiss if I didn't mention this little video game that came out recently that everyone has to talk about. I mean, I know he's sitting there doing that because he is the highest rated Bearcat in the game. Okay, I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. But one thing that I've mentioned to a couple of folks that have come through is for whatever reason, whatever it is, people love to play the game with Conference USA teams. And it's not just the new Conference USA either. The 2014 game, that was something that people love to do. So, what is it like getting this kind of national prominence before you even step a single foot on an actual football field this summer?
It's weird. Like, just being in the video game, you know, we've always played Madden and played NBA 2K and playing with other people. But once you see, like, once you see yourself in the game, you're like, oh, I want to, you know, I want to see how many picks I can get or see how, if I can make some forced fumbles. But I think it's very cool, and it's such a blessing, you know, just to be on the video game. You know, kids, little kids dream about being on the game. Mm-hmm. And so I think that being on there is truly a blessing.
It's, you know, and they played each other, and I'm like, oh, that's not even fair. I'm sure you knew Noah was going to give himself the ball every time. JJ's like, because I double-teamed him the whole day.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. I told myself I was going, each week I was going to play our opponent team that we're actually playing in real life.
Okay.
Put the game on rookie, and I'm going to gain confidence by the video game.
Okay. I like the strategy behind that. I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of time for you to play the video game, but I hope so. I hope that you're able to do that. Well, I think that one thing, too, that I've heard from a lot of people is people have been, like, DMing, like, players about, like, oh, I played with you. Thank you so much. Whatever. Scoring this touchdown. Have y'all gotten some of that?
For sure. A lot of that, like, DMs, text messages from family, friends, sending me clips of the video game with myself. Yeah, definitely got a lot of those.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and another thing that's funny too is they send the good and they'll send the bad too. Like, oh, all right, you made this play. Like, you should have made this play. But it's all cool though. It's crazy.
That is pretty. It's pretty neat. Well, we're running out of time here. There's one question that I ask to every guest that we have here on the podcast because I myself am a big foodie. I love to eat. And I know that there's going to be some people traveling down to Huntsville for some games this year that might be from some other schools. So I need to know favorite restaurants in town and what type of food they have, maybe what we should get to eat there.
Woody's. They have a barbecue line. Coach just took me there. It's my number one now. It's a little further down the road. Is that in Huntsville? No, it's a little further down.
A little further.
We'll travel for food, though. Yeah.
Well, my top was that I've been out there would probably be Woody's for me, but it's probably a little further down in Huntsville, so yeah.
Okay, Woody's.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with Big E's, and I'm going to give myself the shrimp tacos.
Okay.
Blackened, the gumbo's really good also, so... we have some pretty good food in town.
Yeah. No, why are you making that face?
Because I think I want to change.
I'll give you another clear head.
Arnott's in Huntsville. It's a Cajun spot. You know, they got different just Cajun food and Southern food.
Yeah. You know, we got some good Cajun food down there. With your geographical location. All right, KG.
Yeah, my favorite is, it's a little unknown spot. It might be known by a little bit, a little couple teammates, but Yummy Yummy.
Yes,
that's one of my, it's like a Mongolian, and like a little like you get to make your bowl, you get to put whatever you want in it, and then they cook it up, and it's real good. You can make it how you want, fried rice, you get chow mein, whatever. And yeah, so
it'll be great spot. It'll be the top on it.
if he bribe
yummy, yummy.
Bribe me a couple meals with that yummy, yummy.
You've lent your hand now to him. He knows exactly how to get
I got a sweet spot.
Yes. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining the program. Wishing the Bearcats the best of luck here in the 2024 season. Thank you guys for joining us today. Have a fun rest of the day.
Thank you.
A huge thank you again to all the Bearcats who joined us on this episode of CUSA Insider. You've got another one to look forward to in just 2 days. Middle Tennessee State University Blue Raiders. We will be talking to Sam Doughton from MTSU. He is the staff writer, the beat writer on staff there at MTSU. So be on the lookout for that episode going live on Thursday. And don't forget, you guys, you can always follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod and go subscribe wherever you are listening, whether it be Spotify or Apple. It is the best way to get notified when a new episode of CUSA Insider drops and you get a notification when their new episode goes live. So go subscribe. And if you have time today and you're liking what you're hearing here on the show, please leave us a review. All right, everybody, that's it for us today. See you again on Thursday. You are listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.